face Lot living on top of the world. Amen. Lot was a man that we encountered earlier. You remember that? Do y'all remember? We encountered Lot earlier in this series. We found out that Lot could not get along with his uncle. For some reason, Lot developed a dislike for his family member, the one that rescued him after his daddy died. It's amazing sometimes you help people and the return you get is not the same, okay? This message moves us for the next 2 weeks into Lot and his family, Lot and his future, and also, if you would, I find it very intriguing because last week I told you that Abraham interceded for him. Remember that? Y'all remember last week? I don't know if I remember last week. I still jet lag. And so I told you that it's amazing how people will treat you, right? And you want to retaliate. You want to go there. You know what I mean? You really feel in your heart they don't deserve, you know, grace and mercy because of how they act, right? But we saw a biblical example last week of how Abram prayed for his nephew. He wasn't asking God, well, what if it was 5 in there? Would you still destroy? What if it was 10? What if it was 20? What if it was 40? What if it was 45? What if it was 50? Why was he asking that? He went down. He was doing it in respect because he understood that Lot was still in there. Now, I'm going to reveal to you as we look at Lot now, okay? I'm going to go to a New Testament passage in a couple of weeks to show you what Scripture says about Lot. Now, I can't do that unless I do these 3 verses today. And so, you know what I found out? Here's a lesson for you. Okay, you ready? When you have done all you can for a person and they keep rejecting your love, your kindness, your mercy and your blessings, the only thing you can do for that person then is to pray for them. You hear me? Saints, we have the power to let go. I'm trying to help somebody. And you have to understand that no matter, you know what I learned? I learned something on Friday that's troubling to me. We have a lot of young women or children, not just women, but young boys too, that are struggling with the absence of a father. Did you know that? The absence of a father in the home. And look, and even when if the father is absent from the home, the father still doesn't want anything to do with his children. That, to me, that's an epidemic in America. Now, here's where I'm going with this. I'm going somewhere with this because it's easy to hold on to resentment and hate and all these other things for not having that father there. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm using that in that context, but it's the same thing with other relationships, friendships, relationships with people in church where they've done you wrong. You with me? And so I believe that the greatest thing you can ever do for a person is to pray for them. You see, here's the question. Do righteous people struggle? Huh? Do you think righteous people, some of the stuff that I deal with, I'd be like, there's no way on planet Earth I would really think like this would happen to me. Come on and help me, somebody. See, just because you're righteous and just because you're saved doesn't mean that you and I are exempt from struggles, y'all. Amen. Do righteous people get stuck? Huh? Yes. The answer is yes. But first we must understand, here's what we got to understand when I use the word righteous. You ready? When the Bible calls us righteous, the righteous person, right? It's indicating that you're not just acting righteous. There are a lot of us, we put on our Christian mask on Sunday. Okay? And then when we leave here, we take it off and we are who we are. We bees who we bees. You understand? Amen? Right? And listen, and here's where I'm going with this. But here's the one thing you got to remind yourself of always. Once you're saved, you become righteous. So there's a term that I want you to write down. All right? It's called positional righteousness. Positional righteousness. This is the righteousness that you receive from God. It is given to you the moment that you trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. Watch where I'm going with this. I got to watch my time. Watch where I'm going with this, okay? Positionally, you will forever be righteous. Listen, you can fall away from this church, you can fall away from the Lord, you can go back to whatever you used to do and not find happiness and not find what you're looking for. You can go back to that, but forever, as long as you live, you will forever belong to God. Come on and say, I thought that at least make you happy. Now listen, it doesn't give you, now listen, you may go back, but I want to say this, you will not be happy. Now, you will become like Lot, a man of compromise. A man of what? You ever say something? Well, I'm going to stay pew. And then all of a sudden, you're talking about, I got weak. And then you have sex with someone you don't know. Watch where I'm going with this. But you were hell bent. No, I'm strong. I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing what's right. And then all of a sudden, in one instance, you slip. Now, let me ask a question. Do you think that you're still saved? Do you think in God's eyes, he looks at you as a... I ain't gonna say it. Because remember, you slept with someone you didn't know. So when you sleep with someone you don't know, that's what you call a... Did it rhyme? It rhymed. But the question I have for you is, are you still righteous? How many say yes? How many say no? You said no? Everybody say yes? How about you online? Do you say yes or no? See, you have to understand what the finished work on the cross did for you. That you are not somebody else's judge. Come on and help me now. So if I fall, pray for me. But don't think that, watch this, that you're better than me just because you didn't fall. Come on and say amen. I'm ready for you today. I'm back. Jet lag is gone. Amen. Watch this. Watch this. See, the reason I'm going here is because when you look at Lot, you almost get angry. But God is teaching me a lesson through Lot's life. The lesson that he's teaching me through his life is that as a righteous person, there's nothing you could ever do that will cause him to just give up on you, to just leave you there. This is why when you see a brother or sister not in church, and you call them and they don't want to answer, or you haven't seen them in a while, don't assume the worst. Pray for them. God, wherever they are, whatever they're going through, Lord, I pray your prayers, Abraham's prayer for Lot was answered. Oh, Lord Jesus, watch this, watch this. Listen, listen, listen. When Abraham believed God, it was reckoned to him as righteous. He was righteous in the eyes of God immediately. And therefore, it trickled down to his family. Amen. You know, it seems to me that Lot had gotten so far away from his faith and his relationship with God that he lost his identity. I got people today that say to me, I ain't coming back to church. I don't need church. I don't need, you know, I don't need this. I don't need to be around them hypocrite people. And I'm like, oops. Amen. Have you looked at your attitude lately? Have you really looked at yourself to realize that you're no better than me, I'm no better than you, that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God? I wish I had somebody here. So here we come. Here we come. Here we come to the passage. Lot had lost his faith. Okay, remember this. And guess what he found when he lost his faith? He found acceptance in the world. But check this out. And I will show you this next in a couple weeks. Lot found acceptance in the world, but he was tormented day by the world. Wait a minute. How can you find acceptance? See, this is people, these are the type of people that will go out in the world, get mistreated, and take it, but come to church and mistreat other people and feel like they're entitled. They won't do it out in the world, but when they come into church, they will come in here and try to run railroad people. But when they're out in that world, yes, sir. No, sir. Tormented. Are you with me? Listen, whenever the world becomes comfortable, we are in trouble. Along with what he saw in Sodom every day, he was not able to break, watch this, the cycle of sin that he knew was wrong. In other words, he was unable to be effective. He was in a stronghold and in a struggle day after day. And let me say this to you real quick, and we're going to get to these points, and I'm going to sit down. Here's the thing. When you are struggling day after day, And you can't do anything about it because you won't just come back to the Lord. Well, you become a person of what? Compromise. Look at verse 1. The angels came. And can I say this? How many know we live in a day of compromise? We live in a day of compromise and, watch this, and acceptance. There's no biblical standard like it was before, right? So people compromise marriage. They compromise gender. So the person say, don't call me man, woman, call me a pronoun. I'm like, what's a pronoun? And then they say, I don't, when I go to the bathroom, I really just don't know which one I'm going to go to. I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean? Compromise. Tell your neighbor, compromise. I don't want you to be people of compromise. I want you to be a people that when you say something, you mean it. You're not, they ain't hurting nobody. Wait a minute. You know what I mean? That ain't my business. They do what they do. As long as I ain't hurting nobody, long as I ain't hurting nobody. Come on and help me, somebody. See, you know what's? It's almost like we are living in a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. Put my picture up of Sodom right quick. This is the aftermath of Sodom. So I showed you the gate, right? Here's the aftermath of after God was finished with Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what it is now, just a heap of dirt. So this is called a tell. So there are layers of generations underneath this. It's called a tell, not a mountain. It's a tell. Yes. There are only 5 mountains in Israel. And what you see here is the destruction. Today, when God says he was about to destroy it, well, he did that, the actual place. Now, verse 1 says, now 2 angels came to Sodom when? In the evening. Now they left Abraham, remember? There were 3 of them. You know why the Lord didn't go? Because he couldn't stand the sin and the depravity and what the people had gotten into. Now, here's the thing. I believe that the reason for the visit, you know what the reason for the visit was? Doom and discipline and destruction. That's what the visit was about. But remember, Abraham in the previous chapter has interceded. Listen, there's some righteous people there. He comes to 2 angels, came to Sodom in the evening. Now, there's a reason for the placement of the evening. Because in the daytime, everybody was just going about them, just doing their thing. In other words, life was normal to them. Now, you do know what Sodom and Gomorrah is about, right? Huh? All right? Sin. And I'll get to that later on, but check this out. Imagine going to work every day, and you're living among people who are just living just any kind of way, right, in the daytime. But soon as the clock hits 5 o'clock, everybody clocks out, and then you get to see. Lord, have mercy. Now you get to see. The word evening there means night. Oh, I wish I had somebody. And so what we see here, the first thing is Lot compromised. The first thing he did is he compromised his ethical standards. See? Listen. Long exposure to a sinful society will cause us to compromise our ethical standards. You do know what ethics is, right? Amen? You know what ethics is? It's a set of standards that guides or governs your conduct. See, I don't want you to just be spiritual where you're no earthly good. I want you to understand that as believers, we must hold to some form of an ethical standard. And that standard has to lay against the word of God. Lot, let me show you how the world comes in, okay? Let me show you how the world will start with you, just the standards that you have. Okay, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not coming to that wedding. I'm not going to that party. I'm not, you know. I'm trying to keep it clean so everybody can listen to it. You understand what I'm saying? So you may not think. But you got to remember, the Lord had stayed behind because he could not stay there. Now these angels, you ready? These angels were messengers of God. But these angels were also servants of God. Are you with me? And can I say this to you? This is a picture. Amen, that of backsliding, of how a believer can start sliding back. You know, I call it reversionism. In other words, you're living your Christian life in reverse mode. You're going backwards. Paul says, listen, have you forgotten that he saved you, rescued us out of the domain of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom of God? Saints, I want to tell you, if you have no ethical standards, you know what? They came at the time where the two worlds show their true colors. See, when they showed up, if they would have showed up in the middle of the morning time, guess what? It would look, they were going to work, they were in the offices, they were, I'm just illustrating here, right? You know, they were in the town square, they were in the marketplaces, they were doing their thing. Like, you'd be like, oh man, that's a good place to be. But they came at a time where that world was about to what? Change. See? Here's the thing. Your ethics can be compromised when you, watch this, when you in the morning think that you're doing what is right, but in the evening, you're doing something totally different. Come on and say amen. And that's what we see happening, isn't it? That people in the morning will say, oh yeah, I'm an upstanding citizen. Oh, yeah, I got all kinds of ethical standards. No, I stand for what's right. But old freaks come out at night. I wish I had somebody. So not only did he compromise his ethical standards, but look what the text says. The text says, and Lot, as Lot was sitting in the gate of what? Sodom. Put the gate up for me. He's sitting at the gate. Do you know what the gate represents? Whenever you enter the city, you would first have to enter the gate of that city, and the first people that you run into, some of them, you would run into the king, but then you would run into the city officials. You would run into the people who made decisions for the city. Like, okay, we're settling court cases. And that's how Absalom won the hearts of the people against David, because he stood at the gate because he knew the entrance of the gate was an important place. Are you with me? So this is the actual gate that he entered through, that the angels are entering through, right? But watch this. Lot sat at this gate, he became a judge. Lot left his spiritual life behind for a secular position in the world. Lord have mercy. I'm not saying we ain't supposed to work in the world. But when you find more comfort from the world and the position that you have, the next thing that Lot had compromised is his spiritual values. Somebody said, wow. Who said, wow? Not only did he compromise his ethical values. Listen. The central public gate was a place to assemble for business and legal transactions. The people of the city were blatantly about their sin. They walked around with unspeakable behavior in the midst of everyday life, and they thought it was perfectly acceptable. Lot compromised his, listen, I get it, right? I get it. Man, I'm out of time. Shoot, what is y'all doing? I get it. You get weak sometimes. Everybody got needs. I get all that. Flesh is weak. But if you stay, you stand for something. If you say that you are, you know, you have a spiritual life that's being built on a firm foundation, then you have to decide whether or not you're going to live that. Your spiritual values helps you. You know what it helps you with? It helps you with not compromising. Take a cold shower. Go eat some ice cream or some chocolate or something. You understand what I'm saying? Come to church and pray. Go outside on the lawn and pray. You know what Lot did? He found his place in the world, but he never found peace. He knew. I wish I could tell you what I need to tell you, but I'm going to tell you this. He knew this was against his spiritual values. Not sitting at the gate, but not judging rightly. He knew as a righteous man, what am I doing here? Can I ask you something? You ever be in a place where you ain't supposed to be, and you're like, what am I doing here? Full of smoke. And all kinds of, you're like, what am I doing here? Why am I here? See, you and I will not fit into the world. Once you're righteous, that's it. Look what the text says. Text says, and when Lot saw them, what did he do? He rose up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. Now, this text could have went a lot of different ways. It wasn't just him sitting at the gate. But here's what I'm trying to help you with. Once you have tasted the goodness of God, you will always have spiritual eyes. Lot recognized them, whereas the others, Lord have mercy. The others just saw, I'll show you what the others saw them as next week. A piece of meat. The others didn't see the angels. These are angels. They didn't see him like that. But Lot recognized him. What did Lot do? Lot went to, hey, how y'all doing? Whoa, wait a minute. See? So the other thing I believe that Lot compromised, there it is. There it is. He was a believer serving, not in the church, but serving in the world. He bowed to the ground. Why did he bow to the ground when he met these men? Because he understood that when you see the pastor coming, when you see the messenger about to arrive, that's what the angels are. They're messengers and servants of God. So I understand sometimes when I show up, people move around because of who I represent and what I represent. But here's the thing, whenever you stop believing in the messenger, whenever you stop believing in the message, then your beliefs will be what? Compromised. Lot became a leading man in their law rather than a leading man in the word. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. You see, the righteousness he never lost. See? And when the righteous fall, God will always send a servant and a messenger to remind them of their faith. So here's the thing. You may not want to hear from me, but guess what? You may be somewhere in California, somewhere in Utah, somewhere in the Missouri, somewhere. But God will use somebody. And guess what? You will recognize that man there from God. God is trying to tell me something. That, listen, I need to get my life back right. Listen, I've fallen so far from him, but I'm ready to get back in touch with him. Isn't that awesome? That the angels could have came right on in there and destroyed Sodom. But he didn't. I got 1 minute. Gosh, Doug, I got 1 minute. Verse 2. And he said, "Now, behold, my lords, please turn inside. Turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then what? You may rise early and go your..." There's an urgency there. Do you see the urgency in the text? Do you see, like, it wasn't just like, "Well, come on in, let's hang out." No, it's, "Come on in, hurry up." It's kind of like, "Oh, daddy's home, shoot." And look, don't look everywhere. Just come on in, hurry up, and leave. So you know what else Lot compromised? There it is. Whenever you want to come in here and run out, oh, sugar booger. Or let me just come in here and get my praise on and let me leave with my praise off. See? Lot's like, "Man, I'm just coming and going. Come on in here, leave," because being around God's servant, being around God's messenger, sometimes it can be very convicting. But also, it could also be very revealing. When you come in the presence of God around his people, God will give you revelation. See, he was in a rush to get them out. Yet God knows how to rescue the righteous. Isn't that awesome? Verse 3 says what? It says, look what they said. They said, "However, no, but we shall spend the night in the square." You know what's happening in the square? The party was in the square. And Lot, who was living among the unrighteous, day and night, watch this, who gave hearty approval of it, was like, "Please hurry up and leave." It's like your mama coming to your house and you grown, and you're like, "Gosh, dog, I got to hide everything, put everything up." You know what I mean? "Oh, my daughter is just a saint." You got all kinds of things with strings on it and all kinds of stuff. And so, and he says, verse 3, "And he prepared a feast for them," I gotta quit, y'all. Let me just give you the points, right? So the next thing he compromised was his faith. Next week I'll pick up here next week. Come on, give God a hand clap praise. It's too much. I overstudied. I did too much studying. Listen, I struggled with it because I'm like, Lord, how am I going to preach this? And then he just started opening up the cup and pouring in. We'll deal with that next week. We'll deal with those last 3 points next week. All right? I'll just preach 3 points next week. But listen, I want to say this to you. No matter how far you think you've fallen from God, you will never fall too far away where he will not come and rescue you. You may have compromised your purity. You may have compromised your stewardship. You may have compromised your commitments. You may have compromised whatever. But listen, your beliefs, your spiritual values. Listen, if you have spiritual values, you are not perfect. And so if you need prayer, amen. If you need to be restored, amen. Pastor, I've compromised. And a little, I'll deal with that next week.